And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket.
All right, Dave. Compare and contrast. Both of the conventions are over. You've watched both of them. You've cogitated. What did you learn? What did you think these conventions contributed to each campaign?
We're going to find out when the new polling comes out after the Democratic campaign this weekend. But there are absolutely, if you remember, there used to be when the race riots hit back in the 60s, they formed the Kerner Commission. And the statement from that was there's two Americas. And it certainly is two Americas here, two views of America. We have this dystopian view that Donald Trump has been portraying ever since he became a candidate. It's now going on 9 years, almost 10 years. It's the American carnage type of thing. Remember, he said the carnage was going to stop.
Yeah.
He had 4 years and nothing stopped except progress. And the Democrats have...
a lot of people's lives stopped. Don't forget, his inept anti-scientific response to the COVID epidemic caused, at least in the eyes of medical experts, at least 500,000 people died who wouldn't have died if a competent response had been mounted.
Yeah, and I heard a great comment because we talked about Project 2025, which Trump is running away from as fast as he can. You know, some of the things that they want to do away with, one of them is the national, the weather bureau.
They want to privatize it.
Well, not just privatize it, though. What they want to do is undermine the science of that because of climate change. You remember, lurking behind all of this, and I know when I was doing my preparing for my lecture to the Democratic League of Women Voters, that all the roads lead either to or from the Koch brothers. The fossil fuel industry is basically where the monies come from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's also true in the world. You know, look at the bad guys in the world, the Russians, the Iranians, the Venezuelans. They all are fossil fuel dependent countries for their income.
Mm-hmm.
And that's some of the things that they that you have to be aware of. But anyway, the campaign, the Trump view of things, that everything is bad and it's all because of the Marxist socialist policies of the Democrats. And if you elect them, it's going to get worse. This country's going to be destroyed. And then you got to the Democratic convention and, you know, obviously in the last month, there's just been this tremendous change in the entire field of what's happening. The Democrats were preparing to go in and having a Biden convention that would have been staid and very predictable and sort of almost going through the motions and the party feeling that it was going to be a disaster for them. And then now it's the two words that came out of this are joy and freedom, and the upbeatness of the campaigns and the what happened. You know, for instance, the roll calls. Remember, that used to be a big thing when we were watching on television or way back when they'd call the states, and every state would give a little statement, you know, Guam, where America's Day begins, or and sometimes there'd be a fight over who got the mic, you know, whether it's the senator or the governor from the state, and they'd give a little pitch for their state. And the Republican one was just sort of, I mean, it, obviously it was predictable, but it was, it just went down the line. And the Democratic one, they're playing music before it was sort of like walk-up music that the baseball players have when they're approaching the plate for every state. And everybody's cheering and yelling and screaming and what have you. Although hidden in that, by the way, were a number of votes that were not cast for Kamala Harris. Even in California, there were some that were withheld. Minnesota, I think there was at least one or maybe as many as 10 votes withheld. And that was her running mate. But the whole mood was different, the party atmosphere and the looks of it, of course. You know, not a lot of black and minority faces in the Republican convention, and the Democratic convention, as they say, looked a lot like America. You know, there's always pressure on to see if something is going to go terribly wrong, like having your party nominee start speaking at 3 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. And that didn't help, and it happened. And there was no, you know, nobody came out and started talking to a chair like Clint Eastwood did.
What do you make of the speeches at the two conventions?
The Democrats, first of all, had their former presidents there, and their former first ladies giving speeches that were, I think everybody agreed, were all very good and inspiring. The Republicans didn't have, you know, their last vice presidential candidate didn't speak. Paul Ryan, the last vice presidential candidate before, didn't speak.
Either one of those two fellas came.
No. They didn't come, and they're not endorsing Donald Trump.
They weren't invited to come.
They
wanted to hang.
Yes, yes. If he showed up, they might have hung him right then and there. This was just play to the base, and hope that you can squeeze more juice out of the orange in that base. Type of thing in the Republicans. The Democrats were expansive, and they had a lot of ex-Republicans talking. You had Adam Kinzinger, you had Stephanie Grisham, you had Olivia Troy, who used to be the vice president's security advisor, all warning about things. Leon Panetta spoke. He's been both a Republican and a Democrat, I believe. He came out on the defense
side. Judge came out and said he was voting for Harris, and Barbara Comstock came out and said she was going to vote for Harris.
Right. Right. And
so they orchestrated a lot of never Trump Republicans.
Yeah. Yeah. And those things are marginally affected. What they do is they give people permission to go against their tradition. You know, I've always voted Republican because my father voted Republican, or I voted Republican since Ronald Reagan. And you kind of feel like I don't know what it would be to vote Democratic. And these people are saying, look, it's OK. We're still conservatives. We still believe in things that the Democrats may not fully believe in. But there's other things that matter more. And that's what they were saying to their group.
I read the comment of a conservative, a self-described conservative professor of political science at a university in Georgia, who was asked by some reporter what he thought of the Democratic Convention and what he thought of the race in general. And he said that the country needs someone just like Kamala Harris, but who's conservative. How can you? The whole point is you cannot be like Kamala Harris if you're conservative.
That's exactly right. That's right. It's like an oxymoron, you know.
It's hard to understand why anybody would want to take that fellow's class.
That's
I don't know. It appears that the Democrats reconstituted a functioning national campaign that was lacking on the Democratic side before. The convention reconstituted it. And you got to say that the credit has to go to Nancy Pelosi.
And that is why, but for convincing Joe Biden to step aside, or
Yes, for convincing Joe Biden to step aside. Exactly. Because she clearly orchestrated the pressure campaign against him, for which we read he's not speaking to her right now. But that's neither here nor there. The point is, nobody else apparently could figure out how to do it, and she did. You remember that famous quote when on Sunday he said, I'm running unless the good Lord himself comes down and tells me not to. And on Monday, when somebody asked her, what do you think? And she said, well, the president has a decision to make. That's why she's reputed to be the greatest speaker of the House that existed in all the history of speakers of the House.
or at least since Sam Rayburn.
Well, Sam, she did what Sam Rayburn didn't have to do. I mean, Sam Rayburn had ways of pressuring congressmen that she didn't have. And yet she got things done. So,
Yes.
you know.
She was effective, and it
Yeah.
was, in some ways, I guess you'd say it was cold-blooded, because I think she genuinely liked Joe Biden. She just said, or it's like the scene from the Godfather, where it was just tell Michael I really like him, but this was just business,
That's right. This is not personal. This is business.
business, right?
That's right. And really, politics is often, unfortunately, the personal hobby of politicians, which it shouldn't be. If they're really in it for public service, then they got to recognize when they're capable of giving the public service and when they can no longer give the public service. Biden obviously hadn't been able to make that decision.
Well, once you're in that position, it's an awful hard thing to walk away from. Just the perks, and don't forget, he spent all those years trying to get to that position, and he finally got there at the twilight of his professional career, and it took more out of him than I think he thought, or he's willing to admit. Or that his surrounding people were willing to admit, but he certainly, I think, is going to go out with a better historical historical accolades than a lot of other people who've left that.
Well, I
Certainly.
think if he had run and lost, he would have been recounted as a, not merely as a failed politician, but as a second-rate president. I think the fact that he withdrew under his own steam is going to be a big factor in making his reputation in history more positive than it would otherwise have been.
I'm somewhat reminiscent of Harry Truman, who was kind of driven out of office. Remember, he could have run again in 52, because the amendment did not apply to him, the two-term amendment. But he was
And also, he wasn't
it's
elected the first time he ran.
the
He
first time
inherited the office.
he inherited the office, but he was not popular at all. He was loathed in many places. His approval ratings were horrendous, and it took him a long time to recapture his standing. And his standing has only grown when you look at the monumental things that he accomplished under very difficult circumstances. First of all, just following FDR, it was something. Biden just had to follow Trump. Truman had to follow,
Yes,
a
exactly.
god. so to speak. You know, Biden, we'll see. But I think, you know, I always felt, as a history buff, that you can't measure really the effects of a presidency for really a generation or 20 years before that. But there are tangible things that we can look at with what Biden did that are measurable. And the negatives just really aren't there. They would have been there if he had lost that election to Trump again. That would have really hurt him. You know, speaking of Biden, there is now a movement that his presidential library be located near his boyhood home here in Scranton. Whether that's going to happen, I don't know. I would have to think that the University of Delaware has the inside track. I mean, after all, he represented that state for all those years. And, you know, it's a bigger school than Marywood University, certainly. But it would be nice if there were some remnants put here of his presidency.
Well, Scranton could use anything it could get.
Yeah.
Let's face
yeah.
it, you know,
Besides the name of the
if it was there, there would be some amount of activity around it. It would be good.
Yeah.
And that, I know
so
that Maryland needs it.
or Delaware.
I'm sorry, Delaware.
Yeah, Delaware, you know, there's not much in Delaware except the Joe Biden train station that I used to go to all the time to send my daughter back to school in Washington.
And the registration of 8 million companies.
Yes, but no longer X or whatever it is. Good riddance on that thing. So,
So now let me ask you this. Robert Kennedy has dropped out. Do you think
and
that plays any role at all, or it was just something that seemed interesting and in retrospect is unimportant?
well, talk about someone whose reputation continues to plummet.
And
This
quite
certainly,
deservedly.
yeah, I was going to say that. This just follows in that tradition. I mean, you know, the Democrats have been labeling J.D. Vance as weird. That applies to Kennedy even more so, and it's come out. Don't forget, his entire family is against him on this.
Well, Paul Gosar's entire family is against him. That doesn't seem to keep him from getting elected.
No, but Gosar is in a safe Republican district. Kennedy was trying to run on a national ticket, and
But here's a guy, Kennedy, a Democrat, right? I mean, that's his whole point. He's a Democrat. Although, if he's not a Democrat, nobody cares about Kennedy. He's Kennedy because he's Kennedy. And he's endorsing Trump.
And we had, you know, the remember that the his early money came from a guy, Timothy Mellon, who also gave money to Trump. Was it 25 million a piece or something
Just
like
gave him
that?
50 million last week.
Yeah. So, you know, he might have been a Republican stalking horse all along on this.
But you know that in not too many years ago, he was one of the outstanding environmental advocates. He was, you know, he was a staple of left-wing radio because of his position on protecting the environment. All of a sudden, he becomes an anti-science propagandist.
And conspiracy theorists, and then, you
Yeah,
know,
he's been smoking the wrong
the weird
things.
stuff. You know, there's talk about sexual improprieties in his background. He obviously he had a bad drug problem at one point, which, you know, give him credit for overcoming that. But
Maybe he didn't overcome it.
well, maybe it affected his brain.
Yeah.
You know, that or the dead worm, or you know, the that he. Jeepers, what is it that he keeps a freezer full of roadkill for his dogs or something? Just whatever. And then he got thrown off the ballot in New York State because there was questions about his residency. And so, you know,
So,
it's
do you think
difficult.
that Trump is going to benefit from this?
Probably a little. The question is, will that little matter? If you're in a 47-47 race, it could. But it may not be a 47-47 race.
So let's zero in on Pennsylvania. You think he matters in Pennsylvania? He wasn't going to be on the ballot in Pennsylvania. It was, in fact, fighting to stay on the ballot in Pennsylvania was the occasion for him dropping out.
Yeah, and he was being fought by the Democrats, even though the Republicans wanted him off because they thought he was hurting Trump more. Don't forget, the Pennsylvania, they also knocked Cornel West off the ballot in Pennsylvania.
Right.
Yeah, Kennedy is not going to be on the ballot in Pennsylvania. People are going to have to decide the binary choice between between Trump and Harris. We'll have to see what the polling shows. I think the negative reaction to him could be just as hurt as much as it helps on that. And, he certainly, as I said, has become a disappointment to what his potential was on things. On that. Now, there are other things that are happening. The Republicans are still the electors that are on the ballot for Trump. You know, when you're actually voting for electors also in this election.
Only five of them. That's who you're voting for. You're not voting for Trump.
Right. Five of them were the phony electors from the last time in Pennsylvania.
Well, so they have experience.
They've got experience on that. And, the one race that I'm interested in, because the Democrats haven't been doing advertising, with Jeffrey Yass funding a lot of stuff. Is that Pennsylvania Attorney General race with Sunday, Dave Sunday being the from York County, a Republican, being the Republican nominee, and Gene DePasquale, who used to be the state treasurer, being the Democratic nominee. But DePasquale has a big problem that the Republicans are now attacking, and that is that he's never prosecuted a case. He's never been a prosecutor. And so it's going to be, whether that's going to matter to the more independent-minded people, or this is just going to be a Democrat versus Republican.
Do you have to be a prosecutor to be able to do that job, or is it a management job?
Well, it could be both. Mm-hmm. It could be both. It depends on the person in it. Don't forget Josh Shapiro. Why this is important is who is going to, when there's challenges to this election, who is the attorney general going to side with on this? The governor.
That's a political decision. You don't have to be a lawyer to make that decision.
No, but you're throwing the weight of the office behind you. And, it used to be a gubernatorial appointment, but now the governor can't direct his attorney general to do this. So you could wind up with Harris carrying Pennsylvania's popular vote and the attorney general trying to undermine that. I'd be running on that, saying, "Hey, look, they're trying to steal the election." That'd be the first question. Does he believe that the last election was stolen? As a matter of fact, that should be the first question that Matt Cartwright wants his opponent to answer when they agreed to have a debate in October, late in October, but still. Those kind of questions are going to have to come up. And that puts the Republicans in a bind, because if they say, no, it was a fair election, then the Trump people get mad at them. If they say it wasn't a fair election, then the independents get mad at them. So,
Do you think the Democrats will ask the question? I mean, there's a lot of things that seem pretty simple. You say to yourself, why wouldn't they do that? And then they don't do it.
Yeah. Well, it's not up to them. It's to the moderators what they're going to do. But if I was Matt Cartwright, I'd be insisting that they ask that question. And if they don't, I would bring it up.
He could ask the question.
Yeah, as I said, I'd bring it up for him. But meanwhile, Harris has a headquarters set up in Dunmore here in Lackawanna County. They don't seem to quite have their act together yet, but they're going to be doing canvassing and things like that. They don't have all the signs yet. There's a lot to do. On the other hand, Trump doesn't even have an office. He's just relying on the local Republican Party.
Is the local Republican Party competent to do a campaign? I don't think the local Democratic Party is competent to do a
no,
campaign.
No, the Republicans aren't much better. This is just, you know, this is my guys versus you guys. You know, if there's an R versus a D, how they're gonna fight it out? How they're gonna fight it out? And you never know. There could be some surprises coming up on that. We'll have to see.
Well, the conventions seem to indicate that the Harris campaign is pitched to the moderate middle. That's how the convention was structured.
Right.
So what does that mean in terms of campaigning?
Well, it worked for Joe Biden. What we found out is that the electorate is not left-leaning. The electorate is more moderate. She still... The big thing is she is the change candidate, and she's the youth candidate in this election.
And she's the incumbent. How about that for a?
Yeah, but she doesn't. Yeah, but she isn't. She isn't viewed as the incumbent. She's not the incumbent president. Trump.
But Trump is trying to make her the incumbent president.
He's trying to, but he is the incumbent type of thing.
Yeah,
and that doesn't work for him right now. It's not working for him. So. Well, so now he's going to
well,
throw
nothing
everything
is working for him. Isn't it? I mean, last week we said he's floundering. He's still floundering.
Now, I did get a couple mailers from him, or from what's called the Republican Federal Committee of Pennsylvania, and it's the same old stuff. But he's trying to say that he's going to protect Medicare and Social Security. He's working on that, which is a big issue in Pennsylvania because of our elderly population. But she's got to come out and hammer them on that, because that's not what the Republicans stand for and not what Trump stands for.
That's not what Project 2025 stands for.
No.
And his people wrote it, no matter what he says.
And he's running from that like crazy. But they're going to, and that was part of what we heard in the convention, telling people what it stands for. And they did a pretty good job on that.
If the people take Project 2025 seriously, he'll have a massive undervote. Trump, that is. Because even the dopiest person can see that abolishing the Department of Education, cutting Medicare, cutting Medicaid, these are not things that are good for the average person.
Yep. We're just going to have to see. So far, things have been running towards the Democrats' way. Will there be speed bumps? We don't know.
Next week, in a certain sense, starting at the end of next week, the campaign really begins, right? The beginning
right.
of Labor Day. Labor Day begins the campaign. Labor Day
right.
is the next week.
Right. And Trump's pitch to labor. We'll see how that comes out. That was the other thing we thought.
Let's see how they gird their loins. Let's see if the Republicans can reorient themselves. And let's see if the Democrats decide to do what they could do and should do. I mean, one thing if they told the truth, but the truth didn't help them. In this case, the truth helps them.
There's two things. One is they've adopted, I think, Rachel Bitticoffer's idea that hit them where it hurts. In other words, when they go low, we go low too. And then they've adopted Donald Trump's idea, you know, fight like hell, or you're not going to have a country. And they're ready to fight. And you didn't often hear that from the Democrats.
You didn't hear that at all. What you heard was, we can cross the aisle.
Yeah, we can. And Tim Walz is you know, he's getting his team to fight. So
Tim Walz makes the point, if you write a game plan, you can bet your bottom dollar you're going to use it.
Yes.
They wrote the game plan. The game plan is a disaster for the American people. That's what they're planning to do. Koch brothers may have paid for it. The Trump people wrote it. They're going to try to get it done if they get the power to do it. Won't be good.
No. But
start next week. Let's see what happens.
We'll see what happens. Have a good week.
You too.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.